President George Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair spoke mostly on Iraq, their new government.
It is our duty, but it is also the duty of the whole of the international community to get behind this government and support it.
And not setting a timetable for the withdrawal of American and British troops from the country.
We're going to work with our partners in Iraq, the new government, to determine the best way forward in achieving an objective, which is an Iraq that can govern itself and sustain itself and defend itself.
The world leaders also discussed mistakes made.
We could have done the de-Ba'athification in a more differentiated way than we did.
I think the biggest mistake that's happened so far, at least from our country's involvement in Iraq, is Abu Ghraib. We've been paying for that for a long period of time.
The Prime Minister and President will meet again Friday morning. Katie Jewell, Reuters.
In passenger carriages, the death toll hardly bears thinking about. 44 freight wagons were derailed after a train collided with a lorry west of Melbourne. The truck driver was killed, but no one on board the train was hurt. Emergency crews took hours to locate the lorry under the pile of wagons. The driver's body may take even longer to find.
I've been in the police force now for over 20 years, and it's the worst collision I've ever seen.
Police say there was thick fog in the area at the time of the crash. A major investigation has been launched, and it could be a week before the line between Melbourne and Adelaide is cleared. Sonia Legg, Reuters.
Mahmoud Majzoub, a senior official of the militant group Islamic Jihad, was critically injured in this attack in the Lebanese town of Sidon. His brother, a member of the same organization, was killed. Although nobody claims responsibility, similar attacks against militants have been launched by the Israelis, and there was no doubt in the mind of one Islamic Jihad official.
Israel wants to say that they have broadened the circle of their targets to reach Islamic Jihad leaders outside Palestine. But no matter how many the targets or how forceful their attacks, the Israelis won't stop us from resisting their occupation.
Islamic Jihad has killed more than 30 people in suicide bombings inside Israel since the ceasefire started, including one that left 11 people dead in Tel Aviv. But the organization, based in Syria, has come under international pressure to end the attacks, not least from the Lebanese. Bennett Allen, Reuters. Malaysian and Australian troops arrived in East Timor to secure the capital after the tiny nation asked for international help. Fighting broke out when the government announced it would fire almost half its army after soldiers complained about pay and conditions. 10 people were killed and about 30 injured, with many police officers among the casualties. Security is reported to be in disarray, but Australian soldiers are confident they'll soon establish control.
We are certainly able to defend ourselves and those innocent parties that might fall victim to any of the conflict that's going on.
Although it has potential reserves of oil and gas, East Timor is one of the world's poorest nations. Its independence 4 years ago came at the end of a bloody struggle against its former occupier, Indonesia. Bennett Allen, Reuters.
Portugal is to deploy 120 military police to help with security in East Timor. Portuguese Prime Minister José Socrates made the announcement after the tiny country pleaded for their help.
The decision is aimed at responding adequately to an urgent request for military help from their government in the capital, Dili.
The move comes after another deadly day of fighting. 9 officers were killed and 27 people wounded as Australian commandos arrived to help quell the violence. A 1,300-strong multinational security force will be sent in to help the world's newest independent country gain control. The United Nations believes this will be enough to stem the fighting.
We believe that with a swift display of force in Dili, the violence can be stopped very quickly.
The UN is also sending a special envoy to Dili to assess the situation. Cindy Martin, Reuters.
Foreign troops in Afghanistan face a constant risk of attacks. Five Canadian soldiers were injured in this suicide bombing. But the campaign against Taliban forces in the south has also forced many people to flee their homes.
This is the worst displacement and worst fighting since the fall of the Taliban. And this is a huge concern for the international community because international donor money has been shifting to develop the south of Afghanistan.
The heaviest fighting in the last few days has brought some 3,000 refugees to the city of Kandahar. Despite the rising violence, the United States wants to reduce its presence in Afghanistan. The Americans are training Afghan soldiers to eventually take their place. Bennett Allen, Reuters.
It's the worst flooding for 60 years. Huge areas of northern Thailand are underwater, and more than 100 people are either dead or missing. It's the start of the monsoon season, but scientists say the disaster has been caused by a rare collision of low-pressure areas from the Pacific and Indian Oceans. In one region where 41 people died, a third of a metre of rain fell in just 24 hours. The freak downpours lashed hills stripped bare by loggers. With the ground unable to hold the water, massive mudslides swept onto villages. Tens of thousands of people have been made homeless, and soldiers have been distributing water and food using trucks and helicopters. The landslides have also cut off roads and damaged dams, making remote areas hard to reach. The worst is thought to be over, but it could be some time before the full scale of the disaster is known. Sonia Legg, Reuters. Relatives of those killed during the Beslan school siege held pictures of their lost loved ones as the court delivered its verdict. The only hostage taker to survive the siege was jailed for life. Nurpashi Kalayev had denied charges of terrorism and murder, but the 26-year-old Chechen carpenter was found guilty on all counts. Kalayev was among a group of mainly Chechen rebels, which took 1,300 hostages in a school 2 years ago. After a three-day standoff, the siege ended in a bloodbath. 331 people, most of them children, were killed. Kalayev said he'd been forced to take part and hadn't harmed anyone, but witnesses contradicted that. The judge said he deserved the death penalty, but could only sentence him to life because of a current moratorium on capital punishment. The case was a form of closure for some relatives, but many are angry Kalayev was allowed to live when so many of his victims weren't. Sonia Legg, Reuters. She spent 10 of the past 16 years behind bars or under house arrest, but the detention order against Aung San Suu Kyi is about to expire. There are hopes the Nobel Peace Laureate and leader of Myanmar's opposition party could now be released. A UN official was allowed to meet her last week, and now his Secretary General has made a direct appeal to Myanmar's military leader.
I take this opportunity to appeal to General Thanh Sui and the government to release her. I believe her release will facilitate national dialogue.
Myanmar has been under military rule for more than 40 years, but some believe it is now ready to ease its isolation from the rest of the world.
I think it would be in the interest of Myanmar. It would also allow the government and the people not only to build the nation together, but to focus on the essential issue of economic and social development. for the democratic process and the reconciliation process to be truly successful, it has to be inclusive. And she has a role to play.
How much Annan can influence a regime well known for its human rights abuses isn't clear, but Aung San Suu Kyi can perhaps dare to hope. Sonia Legg, Reuters.
Heavy rain in Warsaw wasn't going to stop a procession of bishops and cardinals to celebrate Mass with the Pope. They shook off their umbrellas under a canopy before Pope Benedict presided over Mass in the same place as his predecessor, Polish Pope John Paul. About 300,000 people turned out, a crowd dampened by the heavy rain and smaller than the expected million. The German Pope read out some of his sermon in Polish and reminded his audience of a prayer given by John Paul 27 years ago when Poland was a communist country. Pope Benedict left the capital by helicopter to visit the Shrine of the Black Madonna, a site for Catholic pilgrimages in the south of the country. He's scheduled to visit Auschwitz, the Nazi concentration camp where more than a million died in the Second World War. Bennett Allen, Reuters.
A big night for gray-haired soul singer Taylor Hicks, who just won the 2006 American Idol contest, capturing the hearts and votes of millions of viewers in the fifth edition of America's top-rated television show. The 29-year-old singer beat balladeer Catherine McPhee in a climax of a nationwide contest that attracted tens of thousands of wannabe performers. Pop princess Britney Spears is back, although not in real life. Madame Tussauds in New York unveiled their latest wax creation, a vintage Britney Spears complete with robotic heaving breast. According to the museum, the classic-looking Spears is part of their Bring Back Britney campaign, meant to encourage the pop idol to return to her former life as a sexy starlet. Meanwhile, Janet Jackson is really back. The 40-year-old singer tells Us Magazine that she's in fine form after dropping the 60 pounds she put on for a film role she eventually never made. The newly thin Miss Jackson's new album will be out in the fall. Violence just seems to follow Beanie Siegel. The 32-year-old rapper was shot during an attempted robbery, a shooting police are calling a random act of violence. Siegel was treated at a hospital and released. And lastly, the late great actor Marlon Brando is apparently not finished. Word is that shooting on a project the actor had been working on at the time of his death last year will resume. The film, now called Citizen Brando, will be part fiction and part documentary. In Los Angeles, I'm John Russell for Reuters.